So what I want to talk today is about how to change a business where you can include 30 years of environmental negative debate and discussion now into product quality. And I want to point out that this is not about politics I'm talking here. If you look at the Bush administration and you compare it to Clinton-Gore administration, then Mr. Bush is much better for the environment somehow, because you know that you need to do your own things. Yeah. Now, before that, everybody thought that Mr. Clinton and Mr. Gore would fix it somehow, but now we know that it's our responsibility, it's responsibility of universities and of industry to make changes. Yeah. And to be clear, the Clinton administration didn't do, they lost basically 8 years of innovation for that. Yeah. So it's not about politics, but I would like to talk about some aspects which lead to a different way in dealing with politics as well. So this, for example, is a design question. Yeah, we have this monitor comes from Los Angeles, a hospital in Los Angeles, and it's brought into China. Yeah, and it's not designed for disassembly. Yeah, it's not designed for recycling. And what do people do in China? And it's not because of blaming them for that. It's what we did as well for a long period of time. It is that they put it on a huge pile and they just let it burn, and then they take out the copper from it and put it back into cycles, which generates huge destruction because these materials contain a lot of hazardous substances. We have buildings which are not healthy. Yeah, when we try to seal buildings like the Europeans do now, and to save energy, it gets worse because the things which we have in our buildings are not designed for indoor use. Yeah? So the average indoor air quality in a building is about 5 times worse than outside urban air. Yeah? We look at indoor air pollution things, and on the first view, it looks pretty simple, the diagram, but then we go into details and we look at the off-gassing of different types of products. Here you can see a Chinese racer, Schaefer, and every signal what you see here is at least one signal, one chemical off-gassing. It's a gas chromatogram, and here it's a time and the retention time in the gas chromatograph, and here is all the chemicals. Yeah, and maybe if you shift your head a little bit around, you can see all different types of solvents. Every signal is at least one chemical, which means that this is only works in Afghanistan, that Schaefer on a healthy base, because it only works for the Taliban's. Yeah? You need to keep it 1 meter away, otherwise you are exceeding American occupational health standards dramatically. Yeah? So you need to have a real long beard if you want to use that Schaefer. You can see this with European products like a shaver. You see, because of global sourcing and there is no occupational health limits in Malaysia, etc., we get some of these substances as well in these products, which we wouldn't have in, like the cyclohexanone. You see the number of peaks is much lower and the concentrations are lower, but where is the difference whether you got shot 20 times instead of 50 times? Yeah. So there's no real quality difference. Because of global sourcing, we get more and more of these components in our products, and they are not designed for human health at all. They were never designed for human health before as well. Yeah. So I want to show you some of the things, that's why I was talking about a political statement. This is one of Mattel's products, one of the favorite, Polly Pocket, and on the market for about $20. Yeah. It's made in China for $1.50, but it's not designed for children. Yeah. And it's not to blame the Chinese for that, not at all. Yeah. It's because people want to buy the cheapest things wherever they can get it. Yeah. And at this point, I want to show you the off-gassing diagram of such a product. It means there are far more chemicals you take up by this Mattel product, which has a nice sound as well. Good. Yeah. But basically, I can tell you without making a political statement, but from a perspective of looking for chemical weapons, You don't need to go to another country. Yeah? So what you can do is basically, you can say, this is about homeland security. Yeah, 47% of our children at the age of 7 in this country are suffering from allergies now. Yeah, and these things, you can have them, you can maybe not sniff them maybe, but just take it around and you will see it's not designed for children. Yeah, it's not designed for children, it's designed to be cheap. And basically, so when we talk about terrorism, we define terrorism as violence against innocent. What is this? So this is terrorism. This is a lack of homeland security. These are weapons of mass destruction of our immune systems. So that's why you can see here is a lot to do. So just from a perspective of freedom and security and whatever. The Europeans go into ecologism. So you think from a perspective here, you think the Europeans are far ahead. It's not. The Europeans do as if they would change things. So they generate nice pictures, nice activities, and nice alibis. Like in European electronic products, you might know of here from Silicon Valley, now it's necessary that you take out all the lead. You cannot use lead for solder, whatever, in electronic products anymore. And people think that's good because lead is so toxic and so dangerous. But the consequence is fun because the replacement of this is silver, it's tin, it's nickel, it's copper, and it's bismuth. And bismuth in nature only comes with lead. So when you're using 1 ton of bismuth, you're producing at least 10 tons of lead and generated for a cheap market. You make lead cheaper by using lead-free products because bismuth in nature only comes with lead in the resources. And there are funny things with this because so the companies like BP or MOCA are selling leaded gasoline all over Africa. So it makes the leaded gasoline in Africa cheaper to continue with that. Or as well, the interesting thing is if you make the European in Spain and Italy and in France, there are people are hunting for songbirds. There are more than 100 million songbirds killed every year during the hunting season. And for the bullets for the songbirds, it's far more lead being used than it's used in all electronic products in Europe. But we are not able to solve that problem. So we do some alibi activities, and this is what I call ecologism. Like socialism. Socialism was never social. Because it's the same thing. It's a do as if. We have, for example, asbestos. We take it out of brake pads. We think, oh yes, asbestos is a big problem, and we need to we inhaling these toxic materials. So Volkswagen and Ford have brake pads which says asbestos free. These are brake pads. So everybody thinks, oh, that's great. No asbestos anymore. It's really there's some progress in humankind. Somehow. But the replacement in this context is antimony. Antimony sulfate, and antimony sulfate is much stronger carcinogen than its asbestos. But everybody thinks, oh, it's free off. Good. So if I invite you for chicken for dinner, then I don't say, oh, it's free of chicken. I define what it is instead of saying, oh, it's free off. So maybe your breakfast is free of fish. So what? So what I'm talking about, I'm talking about business. I'm talking about social dimension, not about environment first. In this case, we are losing human rights dramatically because the environmental movement thinks there are too many people on this planet. So when we have overpopulation, we think, oh, it's not that relevant whether children dying because of not having drinking water. We look at on TV and we think, oh, we see all these children and we think, oh, there are too many anyways. So we give up human rights because it would be less than 1 cent a day for a child to provide the child with drinking water. And we don't do this. We let 4.5 million children die every year. We have been working for UNICEF on that. And it's clear that we let them die because we think we are too many. And because we give up human rights in Africa, they don't exist anywhere anymore. Yeah? In Europe, we are cannibalizing each other right now. We think we call it reform when we discuss how to make the richer more rich, the rich more rich, and the poorer more poor. Yeah, we talk about how can we have more human rights for less people. Yeah, it's somehow strange. It's the same thing. We talk about sustainability, and everybody looks at the energy side. Yeah, the side of we are running out of gasoline. To be clear, I'm sure we will not run out of gasoline for the next 300 years, basically from the resources of fossil fuels. Yeah? We can always transform coal into oil if we want it. Yeah, that's not the thing. So it's not about, oh, we are running out of oil, whatever, like that. Yeah? Today, already, you can buy vegetable oil in Europe much cheaper than diesel. Yeah? So it's not that problem. It's far more the material side. Yeah? If you take the Einstein equation, it's far more materials side, not the energy side. We have abundance of energy because we have abundance of energy input. Yeah? We have a nice nuclear reactor 110 million miles away, yeah? And that's what nuclear energy makes sense. Yeah? So we have more than 5,000 times more energy income on this planet than we ever will need. Yeah? So it's not a question, it's only a question when we will learn to use it. But the material side, except you might have some meteorites in there, yeah? The material side is not solved. Yeah. There's no material input. Yeah. So you can see this is a type of primitive design. We have a design problem with that. Yeah. And then I will go through these pictures pretty fast because you have your breakfast. Birds like the albatross, yeah, getting extinct through taking up plastic waste from the oceans. Yeah. That's a strange diet for this turtle here. Yeah. And a type of, you can see, it's not designed for health, the materials which we have here. But we can look at, yes, there is a big area north of Hawaii, yeah, where the plankton, the plastic concentration is six times higher than plankton concentration. Yeah, it has about the size of Europe, yeah, in the Pacific, in northern Pacific. Yeah, it's like a big toilet which doesn't flush, basically, somehow. Yeah. So what we look at is we need to reinstall human rights before we talk about anything else. And because we have been destroying environment for so long, we think that we are too many people on this planet. Yeah? And we think we are enemies for this planet, so we try to minimize our guilt. All these organizations talking about environment talk about minimizing damage, minimizing our ecological footprint or something like that. Yeah? We look at the biomass of these little insects, and these insects have about four times more biomass than human beings. Yeah? So the biomass equals the world, the calorie consumption, so please help yourself with the breakfast. The calorie consumption of these little insects is much higher than of human beings, yeah? Because they only have a lifespan of 28 days. Yeah? So they equal a world population of about 30 billion people. And they are not an environmental problem, except you have them in your apartment, then it's different. Yeah? But normally, yeah, they are an indicator of a vitality of a system. So why couldn't we be as intelligent like people, like these little insects? Yeah? And we have cultures, like the Chinese culture, for example, where people showed how to deal with nutrients for thousands and thousands of years. Yeah? I have been working in the mining industry in China for long. And if you're there in the countryside, yeah, then till today, people expect you to use a toilet after your dinner because they want to get the nutrients back. So when you're invited for dinner, people expect you to stay till you use the toilet. Because it's unfriendly to leave before because you're not invited for stealing the nutrients. Yeah. So the Chinese still today have a huge variety of food where we only eat filet, yeah, and then the rest we make waste. They use all these different materials and bring it back into cycles. So this is what these little insects do as well. Yeah. Oh, so if we would be as intelligent like ants, we could be far more. Yeah. So we do not have an overpopulation problem. Of people, we have an overpopulation of cars, of stupid transportation systems. There's no doubt about that. But on the other side, these people are protecting the environment. Yeah? We call it environmental protection if we destroy a little bit less. Yeah? Like yeah, we say, oh yes, don't use your car that often protects the environment. Yeah? Or use a paper bag instead of a plastic bag, protects the environment. That's funny. It's the same thing if I would say to my 10-year-old daughter, oh, Stella, I'm protecting you because I'm beating you only 5 times instead of 10 times. Yeah. There's no protection. It's only minimization of damage. Yeah. So let's think about, traditionally, we have these linear systems. Yeah. Take things, make things, put them in landfills. For that, already 200 million people on a longer term are too many on this planet. We end up with making the whole world a big graveyard. Yeah. We're losing all these rare materials in this. This is a traditional type of thinking. And what the consequence is eco-efficiency. Yeah. If you would be here for an efficient breakfast, yeah, it would be a tablet with some whatever egg flavor and a glass of water. Yeah. So everything what is really nice in culture is not efficient, but we want to be efficient in the environmental field. We want to minimize damage. We think we are bad and we try to be less bad, which is not an attractive thing. You wake up in the morning, think about this morning, yeah, you looked out of the window and say, oh, I'm so sorry for being on this planet. Yeah. Please forgive me for being here. Yeah. So you apologize because you think you're 100% pig and you try to be zero. We have all these initiatives, especially here, about zero waste, zero emissions, minimization, waste reduction, etc. So you are bad and you try to be less bad. Yeah. So the assumption is human beings are bad and we need to control them to be less bad. At the end, they should be zero. Yeah. So when do we become native to this planet? Yeah. When do we start to understand that we belong to this planet? So that we have the ability to deal with this, and how can we make the other species happy that we are here instead of minimizing our negative impact? Yeah. So this is eco-efficiency. I want to point out that efficiency is ugly. Yeah. Think about efficient Mozart, efficient Van Gogh. Yeah. Think about any type that is efficient. Yeah. Fast food is efficient. Yeah. How ugly. So everything that is really nice, yeah. Think about falling in love with somebody. Yeah. How inefficient. Yeah. So why do you want to be eco-efficient? Yeah. Yeah, efficient nature is not efficient. Yeah. We look at another business model, which we call eco-effectiveness. Efficiency means doing things right. Whatever they are, you do them right. If they're wrong, they're efficiently wrong. Yeah. Effectiveness means ask what are the right things. Yeah. And then you look at the different tools that you can use. And normally in nature, the main tools are wasting, yeah, are celebrating abundance, are education. The eco-efficiency type of thinking, this guilt management, comes from the north. Yeah? When you're in Sweden, a banana skin doesn't rot. Yeah? So you need to minimize your footprint when you are in Finland. Yeah? In the tundra, yeah, every footprint is negative. It generates erosion. But the more southern you are, yeah, your footprint is good because it keeps the water in the meadow. Yeah? So what we talk about eco-effectiveness. Now you have a positive agenda. Your customer is no longer your enemy, where you say, oh, you better don't buy my product because then you can minimize your footprint. No? It's about the more you buy, dear customer, the quicker we are. Yeah? We have 10% we reach already, and this is our goal. Yeah? We want to have a world where we can celebrate abundance for all the people on this planet. Yeah? Where we can, and so this is a positive agenda. Yeah? It's a nice business curve as well. Yeah? So we call it eco-effective, yeah, because it's not efficiency, it's effectiveness. But you see, the interesting thing, like a company here, Hewlett-Packard, they still don't get that logic. Yeah. It's Deborah Dunn writing an article in the Harvard Business Review. For the social side, you know, think about saying, and whatever type of CEO says, oh, we want to minimize our economic impact. Yeah. Or and for the social side, it says, philanthropy is important. We at Hewlett-Packard want our contribution involvement in global citizenship far greater impact than simply writing a check. Yeah? So we want to be beneficial for society. Yeah? We want to have good products which support people. Yeah? But the environmental side, they call it on the environmental front, yeah? Yeah, which is interesting. We have an explicit goal designing new products so as to minimize their ecological impact. Yeah? And then linear thinking from production through disposal, yeah? Cradle to grave. Yeah? The same high-tech, high-advanced company on the environmental side, they still try to minimize guilt. Yeah? They are so bad and we try to be less bad. Instead of saying, hey, For the environment, we make products which have a positive impact, yeah, where the other species are happy to have us here, yeah, and where we all put all our materials back into nutrient cycles. Yeah. That's a different approach, and this is what I'm talking about. This is why I'd call it cradle to cradle, yeah, back to the same potential of life. Yeah. So traditionally, people talk about triple bottom line. Yeah, all business schools here around have this triple bottom line thinking. Yeah, it's a recognition for all for that for a company to prosper over long term, it must. Yeah, you don't want, you must. Yeah, yeah, and to meet society's needs for goods and services without destroying natural social capital. Yeah, without destroying. Yeah, that means with minimizing your destruction. Yeah. Yeah, because you're destroying it, actually, yeah, so you'd minimize it. That's called, it's promotion of minimization of your ecological footprint. Yeah. So what we talk about at Triple Top Line, yeah, we say, hey, now why don't we make products which support life, which support innovation, which support, we have a big footprint, which becomes a wetland. Yeah. So this is what is a different approach to the traditional way of linear thinking in minimizing guilt. And I understand that people feel guilty. It's the same thing. If I beat my daughter today, I feel guilty tomorrow. Yeah, sure. I try to compensate this by any type of guilt management. Yeah, yeah. So we are over-romanticizing nature. Yeah, we think, oh, nature is so good and we are so bad. Yeah, and it's amazing because, look, our natural lifetime expectation would be about 30 years. Yeah, more than 99% of all the people ever lived on this planet never lived longer than 30 years. Yeah. Everything that goes beyond 30 years is human creativity, is spirit, is science, is knowledge, etc. Why shouldn't we celebrate this? Yeah? Why should we feel sorry for being on this planet? Yeah? It's only because it's a type of a guilt management, because we have been torturing nature so long, now we are over-romanticizing nature, yeah? Which is somehow strange, yeah? Instead of celebrating human beings. Yeah? So we talk about such triple top line thing, which means that we, instead of all these isms, yeah, already Henry Ford pointed it out that cars cannot buy cars. Yeah, if you don't give money to other people, they cannot buy your things. Yeah, and so instead of that, we do different types of products which support all three needs. It's not about ecologism as well. Yeah, what we call deep ecology, where we think, oh, every animal has exactly the same rights as human beings, it doesn't matter, whatever. Yeah, it's about really generating systems which allow you to do totally new types of design, where you can ask questions purely about economy. Yeah, can we make it and sell it as a profit? Yeah, if you don't do it. Yeah, you can ask questions about economy equity, which says, are our employees earning a living wage? Yeah, you can go around this, you can say here about equity economy, for example, are men and women paid the same for the same work? Yeah. Yeah. You can talk about equity, just, yeah, are employees treating each other with respect? Do they support each other? Yeah. You can go around this and look, yeah, are employees and customers safe? Is occupational health, is an environmental issue and a social issue? You can talk about ecology equity, yeah, which is our production safe for local and global communities? It gives you a whole mindset of questions around this, yeah? And we could go on in the discussion later for that. Ecology is just a simple basic principle, does waste equal food? Yeah? Guess there, you eliminate the thinking of waste. There's no waste, there's only nutrients back for cycles. You can go on for that. You can say, are we making effective use of resources? And then you come back to efficiency, which makes sense here as well on the business side. Yeah, are we efficient with our resources? But first you define what you have, and then efficiency might be one little tool for that. Yeah? So we distinguish between two different cycles, biosphere and technosphere. And if we look at materials becoming nutrients, everything that gets consumed, like food, like detergents, becomes a biological nutrient. Everything what goes in a technical cycle, I have been analyzing a TV set in 87, and I identified 4,360 different chemicals in a TV set. You don't really consume that TV set. We always talk the consumer doesn't want it, but you're not consuming your TV set. You're only using it. Yeah? So it's a service product. It's a technical nutrient. You cannot make electronic products without heavy metals. Yeah? It's just not possible because we need these materials for that. So, but we distinguish between two cycles, consumption products and service products. Yeah? So a computer is not a consumption product. You don't consume it. You just use it. It's a service. Yeah? So for these technical materials, you use technical nutrients. So think about such a tree in spring. Yeah? What a waste of energy and resources. Yeah? Totally inefficient. Yeah? Yeah. Think about... it's not a lot to think about that. Good. Think about... having one child, it takes 50 million sperms, no, factor 4 or factor 10 or something like that, to get one baby. Yeah? No minimization, no reduction, no avoidance. Yeah? So what we look is basically, so we celebrate diversity. We are happy for diversity, but we think about nutrients. Yeah? And sure, we put in cost, function, performance, aesthetics, and we add, is it ecologically intelligent? Is it fair? Yeah? And do we have fun with it? If we don't enjoy it, we better don't do it, because it doesn't make sense. So we look at different ways how to do this. We do this, and it becomes more and more mainstream. If you see that packaging world, this is Bill McDonough, my best friend and colleague. He's an architect and designer. I'm the scientist. Yeah, in this combination, I'm Bill's material boy somehow. Yeah, Madonna would say. Yeah. So you see, it gets mainstream. We look at materials being put back into cycles, and we do this amazingly successful with the remaining industry of this country. Yeah, but there is not a lot of industry left here. Yeah, so take this famous slogan here: there's no industry left behind if you continue with this what you do right now. Yeah, because you stay in the middle. Yeah, you invest a lot of minimizing damage without having a benefit from it. Yeah. And this doesn't make sense. Either you don't do anything, or you do it right, and do the right thing. Yeah? So I want to point out that the United States already is owned by one third of the whole country is owned by foreign institutions, or foreign individuals. Yeah? You can continue with this. Before the year 2020, more than half of the whole country will be owned by foreign institutions. You can do this, but if you look for that, it's a question how you keep control over your country on a longer period of time. The trade deficit is so high that you're basically selling your property to buy things from other countries, because your products are not competitive in most of the areas. To be honest, I know it's unpolite to do this, but I'm feeling very much connected to this country. Most of the industrial design of this country is just ugly. Yeah. It's awful because you don't celebrate designers. Designers are close to the marketing down at lower at the food chain. Instead of celebrating human creativity like the Europeans do and the Japanese do as well, you don't celebrate design. Yeah? There are only a few companies like IDEO, etc., who really do nice design. So that's the thing. You need to have beautiful design. You need to invest in technology. It doesn't help you to focus on a few areas. Yeah? We need to invest in broad industrial technology, how to make things, how to make machines, how to generate these things. And you need to put effort into make use of your knowledge about environment and health. Yeah? So you can make things which are beautiful, which have good technology, and which are healthy and good for the environment. Yeah? But 10 years ago, United States, mostly biggest industrial export product were fine chemicals and polymers. Yeah? Today, you have a big trade deficit even in this field, and your main export products is scrap and waste paper into China. Yeah. So if, as well, for the sake of the health of the people in China, you need to go ahead with dealing with sustainability to make it a positive thing instead of a less bad thing. Yeah. So because less bad is not good. Because if you lose this qualification, the people in China will take another 30 years as well. Yeah? We had now, especially in California, 30 years of blaming and shaming, negative environmental debate. But out of this, we have gained the knowledge how to make a difference. But it's now time to make a difference and to rebuild industry in a lot of areas for that. Yeah? So what we do is we make, for example, fabrics in Seattle or in Switzerland. Yeah? This material, if you sit on a sofa, The trimmings, pieces when you cut off are so toxic that you need to put them in Europe in hazardous waste incinerators, because you only use what works for that. So what I did is just said, hey, look, I only want to have chemicals which I could eat as well, because these are biological nutrients. Yeah, they need to go back in a biological system. So it contains only high-tech chemicals, But everything you can eat, at least 1 pound of each chemical in there, you can eat. So it's perfectly compostable. Yeah. It can go back in a biological cycle, and instead of paying for hazardous waste management, you can make far better products. Yeah. To give you an example, these fabrics are now used, they are now used in 60% of all the airline fabrics, yeah, because it's just good for the indoor air quality in planes. Yeah. So whenever you sit on United or American Airlines or Lufthansa or Swiss or whatever, even China Air has these edible fabrics in there. Yeah. It's just a part of quality. You don't advertise it. It's just a good product. Yeah. And it's good for your health, and it's good for the companies. And it's highly profitable as well, because you don't pay for waste management anymore. Yeah. This is Shark Carpets, EcoWorks. It's done a collection and can give you more information. But you can here have these fabrics as well, too, just to look at them. Yeah. You can, and as you might have seen with this breakfast, there's not enough fiber uptake, so you can chew that as well if you want to. Yeah. So you see at Shaw Carpets, and this is the most successful, and the interior industry is still intact in this country. That's the world's largest manufacturer of carpets, and it's the most successful product. Yeah, it's designed that you just sell the use as a technical nutrient. The use of the carpet and the product goes back into technical cycles endlessly. Yeah, basically the same with BSF. Yeah, coming back, Mr. Gilhar, on that. BSF is the same with mirror chair from Herman Miller. Every polymer here in that, it's designed that you can use it between 200 and 300 times, yeah, for the same purpose. So we will do a seminar in June 6th and 7th here about materials pooling, which will show you how you can use these materials across the industry. Then the things don't need to be cheap anymore. You can use the best things in there. So you take it apart, and you can disassemble this product in 2 minutes. Yeah. So assembly is much easier with that as well. It's a technical nutrient management. We look for Nike shoes. We choose all the chemicals which are used in there positively. Instead of minimizing damage, we look at the materials which can be used in there. So yes, you see, it still started. It started in 94 with eco-efficiency. Minimum use, minimum impact, etc. This is how they started. But the next generation will be a positive impact. Yeah? That abrasion from the shoes is healthy to generate soil. Yeah? You do this with Ford and a Model U car. We just sell 60,000 miles of using a car instead of selling a car, yeah? Which means that after 5 years, the car goes back, and it includes gasoline, maintenance, insurance, all different costs. So you just pay per mile of using the car. Yeah? We do this for the River Rouge plant, for example, yeah, by generating life. Yeah. It's a life support system. There are species back, songbirds back on this place, which haven't been seen for 60 years there. Yeah. So we it's basically what I call it a raised flora. Yeah. It's not a raised flora, it's a raised flora, because from the top it looks exactly the same what it did before. It contains the native things in there. This is where we want to talk in tune about this. So to summarize it, I want to make clear that we don't have any other choice than using the knowledge about how to make things positive for human beings and environment here, because this is our most relevant, unique, competitive advantage. Yeah. And it will help the people in Malaysia, in China, in India as well, because then we don't compete about the old materials, but we help them as well to generate new innovation. This will allow us to have more than 10 billion people on this planet, yeah, and we will not cannibalize each other. Yeah, but this means that we need to celebrate human creativity, celebrate science, human activities and abilities to deal with things. I want to point out that the strongest carcinogens still are natural substances. Yeah, the most toxic substances are still natural ones. But nature never does products which accumulate in the biosphere, never does things which accumulate in mussels milk. Yeah, you always have reversible changes. Yeah? So we can learn from nature, but we can celebrate human genius. And this is why I'm here. I want to encourage you to do so. Thank you very much.
We have about 15 minutes of Q&A time, so if you have a question you'd like to address to Michael, there are a couple of microphones here, and you can step up to the microphone, and Michael will field them.
Thank you for a wonderful talk. As you know, you're in the land of startups, and so I wanted to ask you if you've thought about intelligent materials pooling for the startup world. The dynamics are going to be very different from established multinational corporations.
Yeah, that's the only offer I will ever make in my life, but I will volunteer for anybody in that room who wants to do a toy company startup with healthy toys. I will volunteer for 1 year. Yeah. So because this is the first thing. Yeah, we need to have healthy toys, and Mattel is just too big. Yeah, and they would have to question all their past. So it needs new startup companies who come up with innovation in this context. And for the materials pooling, we will have a chapter in this workshop how to deal with startup companies and materials pooling. But what it means, it's no longer about durability, because we think we want to last forever, our products should last forever. But this doesn't make sense. Think about this computer lasting for 20 years. Everybody would say, you're an idiot. Yeah? So we are talking about defined use periods of materials, yeah? Which you could use today in a furniture, tomorrow in a car component, etc., which you could trade across the industry. Yeah? And this is ideal for startup because you immediately have access to high-tech materials, which you can use in all different types of applications. So you don't compete anymore about the materials, but you compete about your brilliance, about your own knowledge and wisdom, yeah? Which is elegant because it's just a real good investment for us in a startup, because you can use the high-tech materials which are available through the internet. Yeah? So it's far more elegant. And I want to point out that we need to get these materials back because people talk about oil, yeah, but what is really rare is copper, is nickel, is cobalt, is molybdenum, is vanadium, is antimony, is bismuth, yeah, is manganese, etc. Yeah, these are all, we are all losing these, yeah, and the people in Sri Lanka, we use in this country more than 300 times more copper than they use in Sri Lanka, but we only use about 15 times more energy. So it's a factor of 300 from the material side and 15 from the energy side. Yeah? Yeah, if they wanted to just have the factor of 15, yeah, we wouldn't run out of copper immediately. This is what happens now after people in China said, we won't have copper. Yeah? Now immediately, every copper is taken out of this country. And there is no recycling capacity in the United States for copper. Nothing. Not one ton of copper is recycled here. Yeah? So it's all shipped to other countries. Yeah? And so you lose the technical nutrient base with that. Yeah. Yeah, so there is a lot of startup necessary as well in pretty simple industries, you think on the first few, yeah, like toy manufacturing, like household products. Yeah. They really need to redesign and reinvent everything from a nutrient perspective. So this cradle to cradle is an agenda for startup companies, because you really need to reinvent everything to make it different, to become supportive, and to go back into cycles. Yeah.
Michael.
Hi. You talked about the high-tech industry needing to use heavy metals. And can you give us just a few hints on how to do those intelligently and pool them back?
Yeah, I do. I want to tell you here in this area, it's tough to do so. But I want to tell you that cadmium is far more elegant. Cadmium telluride to be used in solar collectors, and it's silica, far more, yeah, it's far more elegant, and so there are a lot of gallium arsenide, a similar thing, yeah. So these are highly toxic materials, but if in technical nutrient cycle, they make far more sense, yeah. But it means that you make sure that they don't go into the biosphere, yeah. So you just sell the use of the material, yeah. Because if you have a TV set, you really want to own 4,360 different chemicals. I think you just want to watch Larry King live or something like that, yeah? But you don't want to own hazardous waste. So if you take market economy really seriously, you only sell what people ask, yeah? And if you want to have the ownership of hazardous waste, okay, it's yours. But really, do you want to own that? Yeah, so all the new products are all service products, yeah? Yeah. When I came up with this in 87, I was claimed to be a communist, yeah, because people said, oh, you are questioning ownership. No, I'm only taking ownership seriously, that's all. Yeah. If you want to have it, it's yours, and you stay with it, if you're stuck with it, and you have the liability of that. Yeah. So in this context, it makes sense really to look at material flows. Like, for example, we are working on a newspaper. Yeah, it's similar like this book. It's printed on plastic. It's because there is not enough trees around, and it's not fair to use trees for making paper. Yeah, because it destroys the dignity of the trees. If you use them for buildings, etc., it makes sense. But to smash a tree just to make paper out of it, stupid. The Chinese would do it differently. They invented it 5,000 years ago. Yeah, but today they would use polymers. Yeah, and so it's a polymer is designed that you can wash out the ink and use the ink again, instead of ugly gray recycling paper, you get new white paper again for the same purpose. Yeah. And the ink gets used into that. Instead of using soy-based inks, which makes all the pigments bioavailable, yeah, which are toxic for the environment. Before that, they were inert. Now they are bioavailable. We now find all these ink components in mussels milk because of well-intended people here who use soy-based inks in their products. Yeah. But so you do it right or you don't do it. Yeah, and you think about the right thing and then you do it right. But in this context, it basically means that you need to think about how to get stay in touch with your customer. Yeah. Sell just a service product, and so you get your customer back as well. Whether you put deposit on it or for the carpet, it's that you just sell an insurance. Yeah, for 3 years, 5 years, 7 years of healthy floor packaging. Yeah. So you stay in touch with your customer, and you don't insult your customer. Yeah, and cheat your customer in hope that the product falls apart, that you can sell the next one. Yeah. For Nike, for example, just from business model, is totally unsustainable. They pay 70% for marketing, yeah? Because they always insult the customer because the product falls apart, and then you need to, like a boxing, knocking him down, yeah? And then you build him up and say, oh, could you buy the next one? Yeah? That's stupid. Why don't you stay in touch with your customer permanently on healthy feed transportation insurance, for example? Yeah?
Yeah. Thanks. The car industry has had a lot of challenges building products that are more friendly to the earth. And of course, that's changing now with the advent of the hybrid electric vehicle. But tell us about what did you all do at the Ford Motor Company River Rouge factory? Tell us that story, because that's very interesting and unusual.
Yeah, what we do is basically, it's not less bad. These hybrid cars are not protecting the environment. Yeah. They're only minimizing damage. So we work on cars which we call a buffalo concept, yeah? Or we call it a neutral vehicle, that every emission of this car is healthy. Yeah? So for example, this car has an underbody coating which actively absorbs small particulates. Yeah? Yeah? So you clean the air by using the car. Yeah? The emissions are designed that they are collected and be used in agricultural fertilizer instead of destroying them. Yeah? And on the River Rouge plant, it is just the company had to pay more than $45 million on stormwater protection.
What was it like before?
Before, something to something else. Yes, yeah, before the traditional thing would have been to close it down to go somewhere else, yeah, to make a big fence around it. And we said, no, it's better to stay there and to do remediation of the site and really build it up and to generate a habitat so that everybody is happy. Animals are happy. Human beings are happy, and it's good for the economy because just this green roof saves about $30 million of stormwater protection. But it would be a longer story to talk about this, and I would like, if you want, I can do a seminar specifically about that. I'm a little bit confused. I looked at the curriculum of the Stanford University, and I thought it would be one of the elitist universities, yeah? But in that field, it doesn't exist, neither in architecture nor in...
From hydrocarbon plastics to carbohydrate plastics. There's only two significant industrial scale composters in the whole state of California. We have to pay 30-40% extra to compost versus trash in a lot of cases. Landfill's cheap still. Another issue is that a lot of the carbohydrate polymers come from soy and corn, which is in this country very much genetically engineered, very much one or two companies owning the seed stock. which disenfranchises the farmers. Mm-hmm. Anyway, your comments.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's one of the tragedies here. The company is Cargill Dow, who make polylactic acid, for example.
It's just Cargill now.
Yeah, it's now Cargill today, yeah, because Dow gave up in this field. And it's one of the most innovative approaches. 140,000 tons of PLA, and they don't get it to the market because they don't fulfill three basic things. First, you need to make sure that when you want free of GMO, you need to be able to buy free of GMO. If you don't have this, you can use it. Yeah? We have been talking to Patagonia, etc., and they said, we don't use it because we don't want to support GMO. So if they would be willing to use corn without GMO, it would be a different thing. Yeah? And it could be just the same percentage, what people ask for. So I only want to people give a choice. Yeah? Secondly, on the longer term, it's cynical to use food for making plastics. Yeah? It's somehow strange. I can understand this for transition periods, but you need to have a long-term policy to say, hey, look, there are so much biomass, carbohydrates, which we can use. We don't need to use food as long as people are starving. It's just not fair. Yeah. But for transition, I would support it. And the third thing is you need to make sure that every pigment, every additive which comes to with the polymer is on a list which allows to put it back into compost. Because in a lot of cases, they use toxic pigments in these biodegradable materials, and then they make them available for the biosphere. Yeah. And so if this works, it makes a lot of sense. Because as well, I think littering is fun. It's a way how you can mark your territory. Yeah. Here in this state, you think, oh, all these Germans came here, yeah, all the real root ones, yeah, saying, oh, littering is a crime. Adopt highway litter control. $1,000 fine. Yeah. I say, enjoy littering, yeah? Please litter, but with the right materials, because it's the only way how we get nutrients back into cycles. Yeah? So we developed an ice cream packaging, which is because we think, oh, the people in China are not aware of environment. It's the opposite. Yeah, we do the wrong design of these low weight packaging things. Yeah, so we designed a polyester, which is a liquid at room temperature. It's only a film when it's frozen. Yeah? You take it out, and immediately it becomes a liquid. You throw it away, it becomes a liquid. And then it contains seeds from rare plants. So you locally support the endangered species by talking to the local conservation people. So we behave like a songbird, yeah, taking seeds from plants. Yeah. It's the same thing. Yeah. So you support life instead of minimizing damage. But you need to include this. Everything that is close to water needs to be made biodegradable, definitely. Yeah, if you see this, this is really... This type of chemical harassment for the oceans is really a nightmare. Yeah. So in this context, I couldn't agree with you more. But as well, it means, sure, composting is necessary, but it's just the minimum. Yeah. I'm compostable, you are compostable, so what? It's just the minimum. It's like sustainable. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sustainable? Yeah. How is your relationship with your boyfriend? Yeah. Sustainable? I'm so sorry, yeah. If this is really that. Yeah. If this is better, you leave him alone. Yeah. If this is, yeah, so our big goal, sustainability, it's not. Yeah. It's just the minimum of the minimum. Yeah. So then it starts after with this minimum conditions, it starts. Is that, yeah.
I want this first to say that I enjoyed your talk.
Thank you.
Your accent and also your humor. My question is, if I were to start my life over again, assuming that I'm a freshman in college, and I'm very much want to learn about what you mentioned, the eco-efficiency, eco-effectiveness, and I want to contribute towards it in the future. What do you advise me that I should go about at it?
I would advise you just that you want to be proud of yourself. Yeah. Because, no, forget about ethics and moral, whatever type of things. It's good for your own and your family, etc. Yeah. But if you try to make it for a society, it ends up in a dictatorship. Yeah. So it's enough if you just want to be proud of what you're doing. Yeah. So if you're a chemist, yeah, you don't want to be stupid to make things which accumulate in muscle milk. Yeah. Just take it as a quality thing. Yeah. The Japanese total quality approach is ideal to include quality about environment and health and human rights, yeah? Yeah? Or just call, I would become, for example, a designer making total beauty design, yeah? Things which are really beautiful holistically, yeah? or I could become an engineer, or I could become a logistic expert, how to get nutrients back into cycles, or I could think about psyche a lot, because in this country, how can you do recycling, where the people here call their raw materials virgin materials, So because of this this sex obsessed country, it's amazing what is going on. So people don't want to use something which has been used by somebody else. So, but this means that you need to reinvent marketing for that. Like we proposed for Nike, we propose in 100 when something has been used by somebody, it needs to come from a saint. Then it's good. So the Catholic call it a relic. So when you put 100,000 pairs of recycled shoes, you put in one pair of Tiger Woods shoes, then it's Tiger Woods inside. Then you belong to a holy community. It's no longer igit. It has been used by somebody. You become a member of a holy community. And so we need to think about really to take human beings seriously. Not to brainwash them and to tell them what to have they do, but really take them seriously how they are. And this would be, for example, a marketing of things which have been used before. Instead of saying, oh, Joe's six-pack inside, it's Tiger Woods inside. And then it's attractive. So you can reinvent everything. So you can do whatever you do just from a perspective of using this 30 years of Titanic end-of-planet discussion here now to make better things. And we have the potential here. Now, just the only thing is you need to have self-esteem. If a designer is so low on the food chain that he behaves like a prostitute, just do everything for money, whatever it is, then it doesn't make sense. You need to have self-esteem in what you're doing. So I just want to be the best material scientist as a chemist, and this is why I'm doing this. Good.
We're going to take two more quick questions, and then we're going to break, and we can carry on after we let those of you who need to go, go.
Hello. I just wanted to have you address one of the larger issues from an environmental standpoint, and that's carbon dioxide emissions and global climate change. Mm-hmm. From a carbon dioxide standpoint, I think less is more is still is the right way of looking at things, as opposed to more is more. Can you address that?
Yeah, basically, I see differently, because it's just stupid to put carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Coming back to your question on carbohydrates, carbon is just too rare to put it in the atmosphere. It's stupid to do so. It's such a valuable nutrient. So what we work on a project which we call horizontal chimneys, where we directly use the carbon dioxide to grow carbohydrates. And it's far more effective to do so. These plants have growth rates of more than 20% a day. So you can permanently harvest this. So to put it in the atmosphere is unintelligent to do so. And definitely, I agree with you that you can think about on a transitional period to minimize damage. Sure, because it gives you some extra time to do something. But in longer term, it's not about minimization carbon dioxide, but really usefully using carbon, because it's too rare to lose it in the oceans, the sediments, etc. That's why it makes sense to capture it and use it in the same purpose. But as well, I agree with you, it makes sense sometimes to slow down the speed of destruction, because then it allows you to do a U-turn. It's the same when you're on the highway in the wrong direction, whatever, then you need to do a U-turn maybe to go the other right direction in there. But on the other side, for environmental systems, I want to point out that a slower collapse is much worse than a fast collapse. Because in a slow collapse, the niches die as well. If you have fast collapse, the system can recover from the niches. So if it collapses immediately, then the niches can rebuild the system. If it's like this picture, if you put a frog in hot water, if you put the frog in the boiling water, the frog jumps out immediately. If you heat the water slowly, the frog stays in there till a frog loses the vitality for that. And this is what we happen here. We lose the vitality because we have good intentions, we minimize things, we buy a price, whatever, but basically we stay in the boiling water till it's too late. So it's time to jump out. Good.
Thanks for coming this morning. I was thinking about feeling bad for being on the planet as a human and all of the assumptions that pit human activity against the environment. And it it seems that conservation efforts sort of imply that mere human presence is bad for the environment. So wondering if you think one day the concept of conservation will be eliminated the same way the concept of waste should maybe be eliminated.
No, I think we can do it differently. We can understand that for a transitional period of time, like we mentioned here, it makes sense just to keep people out of areas. Yeah. And if you look at some sensitive areas in the northern tundra in Finland and Russia, it makes sense not to be there because every of our footstep means erosion. Yeah. But the more southern you are, the more littering is fun. Yeah. You see in Italy on highways that people throw away things and they generate life with this. So it's a designer who makes the wrong thing, not the one who throws it away. Same in China. The Chinese call it, in double sense, white pollution, when they have all the styrofoam along the railways there, because the styrofoam is not designed for a nutrient perspective. But basically, before that, the parts along the railways were the most beneficial gardening areas to be used for getting the nutrients back. Yeah. So basically, I think for a transition, it's necessary just because as long as people are not intelligent enough, you need to protect them sometimes against from itself. But I want to point out that there is no evil. Yeah. The evil is just a construction to generate bad consciousness. Yeah. There is the same if you would say, oh, it's dark outside. There is no darkness. It's just the absence of light. Yeah. There's no coldness. It's just the absence of heat. Yeah. So things which we assume that they are bad, have the absence of quality. Yeah. So we can really look at quality to make real total beauty things and nice, beautiful things. And I think it's encouraging for young people now to use all that knowledge which we had by this blame and shame discussion and just to do new things. Yeah. Just do it. Yeah. Thank you.